Oh man, Kids Week was good. It's fun to see the pictures and all the life that happened here in this building. Are there some racers in the room? Racers, start your engines. Awesome. Okay, racers, we're going to have to do that a couple times today, so let's practice. Racers, start your engines. Awesome. So we're going to tell the story this morning of a man named Peter. And every time we enter a new scene, I'm going to say, racers, start your engines. And you have to go vroom, vroom, and then we'll start the next part of the story. Does that sound good? And if anyone has fallen asleep, they will wake up because you said vroom, vroom so loud. It is so cool to have you in the room today. You've been out there in Kids Quest each week, and there are amazing leaders that tell you about the love of Jesus, and you guys get to do fun stuff. And let me tell you what your parents or grandparents have been doing in this room over the last few months. We've been studying the life of Jesus Christ, his life and ministry, his death and resurrection. We've been looking at the historical account of Jesus. There's four historical accounts in your Bible, and we've been looking at one by the man named Matthew that records for us what Jesus did, what Jesus said, how Jesus died, and how Jesus rose to life. And we've been taking a chapter a week. And there are 28 chapters in the book of Matthew, and we're going to be in chapter 26 today, which means this series is almost over. And kids, let me tell you where we're at in the story. We're at those final days of Jesus' life that you've heard about before. It's that last week where Jesus is in Jerusalem. It's that last week before he's put on the cross, and 3 days later, he's raised to new life. In fact, in chapter 26, where we're going to be today, kiddos, we're going to be in those final hours. And here's the question that we're going to try to answer today. Is in light of accepting Jesus and following Jesus, when we see young faith in the tub, those who are professing Jesus, in front of them it just feels like life is going to be great. And following Jesus is going to be great. And you're saying yes to Jesus because of the life that he provides. And the longer you follow Jesus, the more you experience hardship and trials, difficulties sometimes. And kiddos, there's going to become a day when you're faced with some of those trials and perhaps some of those temptations. And one of the questions that we're going to see if we can answer today is this. In the middle of trials and temptations, when you're tempted to do the very thing that you don't want to do, or the very thing that you said you would never do, you told your parents, you told your friends, I would never do this, and somehow you find yourself in a day where you're faced with a temptation or trial to do that very thing, the question is, where is the source of strength to find victory in that moment? And the next question we're going to look at today in our episode is, let's say you don't find victory. Let's say that you mess up and you fail. What is the source of forgiveness in the midst of failures in those trials and temptations? And so two questions I want you to be thinking about, we're going to try to find those answers, is what is the source of strength to find victory in trials and temptations? And what is the source of forgiveness when we experience failure in our trials and temptations? And in order to do that, we're going to look at the final few hours of Jesus' life with the main character named Peter. All right? Racers, start your engines. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 26. Jesus and his disciples have just had that final Passover meal. And now they're leaving. And that one disciple named Judas has already gone out to make arrangements to get some soldiers and leaders to come and arrest Jesus. And Jesus moves from Passover dinner to a familiar place, a garden, where he's been many times with his disciples. Imagine the sights and smells of a garden. It's like the trees are there, the leaves are rustling. You can picture it in the middle of the night with a full moon. Maybe it's like illuminated in the garden. It's a calm and peaceful place that's about to be disrupted. And here Jesus tells our main character, Peter, something that's about to happen. So let's pick it up in 26, verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, it's a song, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. There's something that's going to happen to Jesus, that being associated with Jesus is going to have a hardship. And in fact, they're all going to run away from Jesus. You will all fall away this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, that's Jesus, and the sheep of the flock, that's the disciples, will be scattered. That comes from a prophet named Zechariah. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. That's a city. I'm going to go to Galilee. And Peter answered him, that's Jesus, though they all fall away because of you, I never will fall away. And Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, that's going to be in the morning, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. And so Jesus is saying, we're about to step into a different circumstance. And we're going to be tested. You're going to have a temptation. And you're all going to fall away because of me. And Peter stands up and says, I will never do this. Now, remember I told you there were four stories, four historical accounts of the life of Jesus that all record this one episode with Peter. So that means it's really, really important. And one of the other gospel writers is a man named Luke, and he fills in a little bit about what's going on with Peter. That it's not just, well, Peter might not, you know, have the strength to do it, but there's actually an adversary that's against Peter in this moment. And so over in Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 31, Luke records the same episode. It says, Simon, Simon, that's Jesus talking to Peter. Peter, Peter, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And so Jesus tells Peter, hey, there's something more going on here than just meets the eye. It's like a Job situation. There's an adversary that wants you and wants to mess with you. And so you're going to need to be watchful and prayerful so that you don't fall into temptation. And I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith in me wouldn't fail, so that you would stay with me forever. And here's what Jesus knows. Jesus knows all things. He knows that there's going to be a temptation for Peter, that Peter's going to fail. But he knows that Peter will also return. So after you failed, he says, when you return, he knows there's going to be a returning. Strengthen your brothers. And so this is the perfect episode to figure out what is the source of our strength for victory and what is the source of our forgiveness in failure. All right? So here's Peter. And what does Peter automatically go to for the source of his strength? We just read a couple verses. He finds himself the source of the strength. So when Jesus says, you're all going to deny me, you're all going to fall away, Peter's the one that says, I won't do it, even if they all do it. Point to the other disciples. I mean, they might. I mean, they're weak. I mean, my brother Andrew's in that group, and you know my brother Andrew, he's like, maybe he'll hang around, but I never will. Thaddeus, question mark, but me, I'm Peter. Remember me, Jesus? I was the first one to follow you. I'm Peter. Remember, Jesus, when all the other disciples, they were all scared in the boat because of the storm, and we saw you on the lake, I was the one that stepped out of the boat, and I started walking on water towards you. Remember, I'm Peter. Remember when you asked, who do the crowds say that you are? And then you asked us, who do you say that I am? I was the first one to have the dots put together, and I knew that you were God's promised rescuer to the world. And I said, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. I'm Peter. I was the first one to make that confession. Remember, I'm Peter. Remember when we went up on the mountain and you revealed your glory, like how big you really are, and you gave us eyes to see who you really are, Jesus, and we were all astonished. Remember, I was with you. I'm Peter. Surely I won't fail. I never will, even if we have to go die together, Peter says. I will never do that. And where he deposits his strength, where he thinks the source of his strength is found within himself. And it's funny because the world would tell us the same thing and say, your greatest strength is digging down deep inside you. Like, you're powerful, you're smart, you're strong enough, you're clever enough. If you would just dig down and find yourself, that is the source of your power. And Peter's going to look within his own self, called his flesh, to find his own source of strength. And we're going to find out that that's the very place that actually is weakest. And Jesus is not going to look to his own flesh. He's going to look to his Father for his strength. And we'll see how both of them fare in the midst of temptations and trials. Okay? The story now continues. Racers, start your engines. Awesome. Louder next time. I saw some people sleeping. Okay? You have to wake them up. Verse 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and I'm going to pray. He's going to go tap into the source of his Father. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here, Peter, and watch with me. After going a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup, let this trial, this suffering pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, you should not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Peter, I'm struggling here too. And I'm retreating and connecting with the source of strength, my Father. And I've called you to watch. I mean, be awake. Pay attention to what's going on. And for you to pray. Now, what's Peter supposed to pray? I mean, Jesus says, pray, Peter. Well, what kind of prayers do you pray in a time like this? Perhaps, doesn't say it here, but perhaps Jesus is saying, Peter, remember you asked me before, how do you pray? Remember you asked me before how to do this, and I told you, pray like this. Pray to our Father, Father in heaven. Pray, Father in heaven, your will be done. I want you to accomplish your will. I'm entrusting myself to you, Father. Remember, and you're going to pray, Father, don't abandon me into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Pray like that, Peter, now. In fact, that's how Jesus is praying right now. Father, your will be done. Don't abandon me into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. Pray like that, Peter. Because the Spirit, I know you're like zealous for this. Like, you'll never fail me. That's what you're saying. And that Spirit in you is willing. It wants it. But the flesh is weak. Now think about this with Jesus. Jesus was fully God, right? And fully man, clothed in flesh. The same weakness that Peter was in is the same weakness that Jesus has clothed himself in. But Jesus doesn't try to tap into his flesh as the source of his power. He taps into the Father as the source of his strength. And so it goes on. So watch, Peter, stay awake. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak. Verse 42, again for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again he came and found them, Peter, sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and he prayed the third time, saying the same words again, my Father, your will, rescue me. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. So in this episode, three times, Jesus is sorrowful, overwhelmed, and retreats to his Father to connect with the source of strength from his Father. And three times the disciples are asleep, not paying attention, finding their strength in themselves. And here's immediately the difference. When temptation comes, and the trial for Jesus shows up, Jesus is awake and ready and says, rise, I see it, and let's go face it head on. He's not retreating from it. He's not scared of it. I'm walking right into it, right into my own trial, because I am going in with my Father. All right? Now, my betrayer is at hand. The episode's about to change. So, racers, start your engines. Better. All right. Verse 47, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12. And this was one of Peter's buddies who had walked with Jesus. One of his friends, all of a sudden, wait, Judas, you're supposed to be with us. What are you doing with them? The guards. And I imagine at this point, adrenaline is starting to rise. You know what adrenaline is, kids? It's when you get all excited and passionate and you're all fired up and you're ready to go. It's like you just ate a whole birthday cake. You're like, here we go. And you can just sense that here comes the betrayers. And Peter in his mind is thinking, okay, now's the time. Don't fail Jesus, Peter. You're Peter. You're the warrior disciple. Stand up for Jesus. And it came with him a great cloud, a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And Judas kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now, kids in the room, which disciple do you think grabbed their sword and tried to lop off one of the soldiers' heads and missed and got his ear? Peter! That's right. Here's warrior Peter. I'm not going to fail Jesus. And what does he reach for? His own strength. Like, I will do this. I won't fail Jesus. Now is my time. I'm Peter. And he grabs his sword and strikes the man and cuts off his ear. See what Jesus does. Then Jesus said to him, "Peter, put your sword back in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Those who live off their own strength, they'll die by it. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father?" See, here it is again. You think I'm helpless here? And I need your strength to jump in? No, Peter, I'm not trusting the thing that you're trusting. I trust my Father. "Do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father? And he will at once send more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me? But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples, just like Jesus said, left him and fled. And here's Jesus all alone. Jesus was the only one that was watchful and praying to the Father, connected to the Father in this moment. And Jesus is the only one left standing. And now the scene changes from the garden to the place of Caiaphas, the high priest, into which they are going to now judge Jesus and bring trumped up charges, false charges and accusations. And we're going to see two trials happen. One, we're going to see a trial of Jesus in front of a judicial committee. And one, we'll see with Peter, a trial before public opinion. And we will see who survives. And so what we see now is the scene change over to the house of Caiaphas. So, racers, start your engines. Nice. You guys are getting good at this. You should do it all afternoon with mom and dad. In the car, at home, all day. Verse 57. Then they rose, who had seized Jesus, and led him to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders gathered, and Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Here's the biggest mistake that Peter makes. He's trying to follow Jesus at a distance. Do you think you can follow Jesus at a distance? No, you gotta follow Jesus up close, shoulder to shoulder with him, locked in with him. You can't follow Jesus at a distance. Let's pop over to verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know the man. I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him and said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. The way you speak betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed and day broke. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Three times in the garden, Jesus goes and retreats to the source of his strength to be with his Father. And three times, Peter is challenged and tries to tap into his strength of, "I'm Peter." And three times he denies Jesus. And so what we see is that the source of our strength in times of trials and temptations, for victory is found in being connected with the Father through Jesus Christ. That is the source of strength, that we want to be connected to the Father. That's why we pray, our Father, your will be done, Father. Don't abandon me to temptation, Father. Deliver me from evil, Father. Help me see what's going on here, that I might stand and rise and confront my temptations, that I would find victory. And here Peter has experienced an epic failure, a big failure. He's done the very thing that he said he would never do. He stood before Jesus and said, Jesus, you've been right about everything. I've watched you for 3 years. When you said it, I believed it and it was right. But Jesus, you're wrong about me. And here Peter has learned that Jesus is right in his assessment, that those who trust in themselves will fall. Those who try to build up their own strength are like building up on prides, like building blocks of pride. You're strong enough. You're good enough. You can do this. And what do the scriptures tell us about those who build their life on pride? Is that it'll all come tumbling down soon. And that's what's happening here for Peter. And we don't know what feelings of failure he's experiencing. It's different for each of us. And some of us, when we fail, we're just so afraid of lost relationship that we retreat and we hide our failure so that we wouldn't lose a relationship with someone. Some of us, when we experience failure, we're so embarrassed that it's like chipping away at our image that we would never tell anyone about it because then they wouldn't respect us the way they should. Some of us feel like such failures, and there's this grief, and there's sorrow, and there's shame now, and that's why he's weeping bitterly. But Jesus doesn't want to leave him there. No, Jesus wants to come and restore Peter. And so there's this really cool episode in which the women of the tomb, so imagine Peter for 2 days. Like that night, he did the very thing that he said he would never do. And then the next day, he's just soaking in on that decision. And the third day, he's just feeling that bitterness, that sorrow and guilt. But two of the women that have followed Jesus rush to the tomb to go tend to the body. And there they find the tomb empty and a messenger from God saying, come in and see, come and see. There's an empty tomb. He pulled it off. He rose from the dead just like he said he would. And he has gone ahead of you to Galilee like he said he would to meet you there. And this was amazing. That the messengers tell the ladies, go tell the disciples. And tell Peter, go tell Peter, his failure is not the end of this story, and Jesus wants to meet him. And in the Gospel of John, John records for us this really amazing episode of the disciples on the beach once again with Jesus. They've been out fishing. It's like maybe they're thinking, man, we've lost it. We don't know what we're doing. We all failed. We all dispersed. Like we abandoned Jesus. Maybe we just return back to fishing. And there Jesus goes and meets them back to what they're doing, what they know what to do, what's familiar to them. And there he has breakfast with them on the beach. You know, Jesus cooked them breakfast. How cool is that? That Jesus makes breakfast for his disciples. And then he sits there, and there's this episode of Jesus restoring Peter. This is John 21, and we'll start in verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, Peter, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved, right? There's that bitterness, there's that guilt and that shame that Jesus wants to take away. That's why he's asked him three times. Because he can be fully restored. So there's no doubt in Peter's mind that God has forgiven him and he's back right with the family. Do you love me more than these? Lord, you know everything. And you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Isn't that beautiful? And at the very end, in verse 19, he says, after saying this, he said to Peter, follow me. And there's this bookend picture of Jesus with Peter. All the way back to Matthew 4, where he found Peter fishing with his brothers. And he says, Peter, follow me, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And there Peter dropped his nets and began to follow Jesus. There's new and young faith. And as he walked with Jesus, he experienced hardships, he experienced trials, and he experienced his own failures. And here Jesus meets him once again on the shores with him fishing and reminds him what he called him to. what he invited them into. It says, follow me. Now, adults in the room, have you ever been to a place where you did again the very thing you swore you would never do? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there where you're doing the very thing you thought was impossible for you to do? He said, I'll never do that. I see their marriage and I'll never be like them. I see their finances and I'll never be like them. I see their decisions. I'll never make those. And you found yourself in the same boat. What's the source of forgiveness in the midst of those days? It's to run to Jesus, because he is welcoming you back in and wants to restore you fully and forgive you fully. And not only that, but to recommission your life and to say, remember what I called you to? Remember that? Follow me. We're going to go make disciples. You can still do that. He tells Peter, go feed my sheep. Can you imagine Peter? Me? Peter? What? I'm going to be known in all of history as the epic failure. How can I be a pastor to go feed sheep? I failed you. I wasn't strong enough. I'm not strong enough. And Jesus is probably saying, exactly. That's why you're fit for it, is now you know how to pastor, to tell people to stop looking within them for their own strength, their own salvation. But you know, Peter, that you come empty-handed every day, every moment, to say, Lord, I don't have it. But Father, I'm abiding in you, and you can give me the strength to live today. And Lord, I return to you every day for more grace and more strength, because I don't have it within me. You're perfect for this, Peter. You know this lesson. And what I think is really cool is that Mark's probably the first gospel that's written, and we believe it's Peter who dictates it to John Mark in Rome. And Peter's the first one to share this story, that he doesn't hide and bury his failure to protect his image, but he shares it for you and for me to learn what is the source of our strength in the midst of trials that we might find victory, and what is the source of our forgiveness in the midst of our failures. Kids, this is the story that you want to hang on to. How do you know where your strength comes from? Be connected. Get up close to Jesus. And when you do the thing that you thought you'd never do, you just come running right back to Jesus. And he would love to forgive you and restore you back to him and give you new work to do because of the things that you've learned about the depths of his grace. Let's pray. Lord, I am so thankful, Father, that you are a God of forgiveness and grace. Lord, I thank you that you give us an invitation every day to be connected to you, that you delight to uphold us who are weak. Lord, I pray that our minds would run to you, that our strength would be found in you, that our confidence would be found in you. I pray right now for those in this room, pray for the men and the women who are perhaps in a day, in a moment, in a place where they never thought they would be. And I pray in this moment, they would wake up. They would wake up and see what's going on. And in the midst of this temptation and trial, they would turn and run back to you. And Lord, I pray for everyone in this room who has just experienced perhaps an epic failure that they're not telling anybody about. Lord, I pray they would tell you. And they'd run to you and ask for forgiveness, to be restored, to be forgiven, and to be sent back out. Lord, perhaps give them the courage to share a trusted friend, someone that they can deposit that confession in as a gift, that someone else would know what it is to be them. Give them the courage to do that, that they're known by somebody, and that they're in the community. Because none of us are perfect. And so we come to you, Lord, the perfect God, for our strength and our forgiveness this morning. Amen.